And there again, I get amazed at these guys teaching, and then I come along preaching. I was showing June back there, and I opened up my things that I jotted down in scriptures and everything, and it was just right going right along with Robbie. I don't know what's going on here. Y'all needing double doses of this stuff, and so it ain't that I'm making it up as he goes. I got a witness. But anyway, Galatians chapter 1. I want to talk to you about the resurrection, since everybody's thinking about the resurrection. I believe that the resurrection is just as important as his death. I always look at the death of Christ as the payment of our sins. Amen? And I always put it up here on the board. And I do that because you get a visual. You think about that cross. And we don't worship the cross as an idol or anything. Like some people do, they carry around the cross with a dead Jew on it and strapped on there, and they bow down, they kiss it and all that stuff. We don't do that. I worship what the cross stands for. I worship the one that went to that cross and died on that cross and as a payment for my sins. Now, I'm not saved because I'm good. I have no goodness. I'm saved because of his sacrifice for me. You see, I'm a sinner. And I need a Savior. And there is nothing that I could bring to God that will please God. Because the sacrifice, whatever you offer to God, is a part of you. Cain put a lot more effort into his work than Abel did. I imagine Cain, he tilled the ground. Cain raised that his offering, and he worked and he sweated, and I mean, and he brought, he had everything laid out there. And Abel brought a lamb. And Abel didn't have nothing to do with that lamb. Abel didn't give life to that lamb. Abel never done nothing to that lamb. That lamb grew, and Abel brought that lamb. And God, and Abel and the sacrifice became one. And so when God accepted the sacrifice, God accepted the giver of the sacrifice. And so he rejected Cain. Well, why did he do that? Cain brought what God told him to bring. Abel brought what God told him to bring. Cain brought what he thought was best to bring. So what are you going to give to the Lord for your sins? Whatever you give, you become one with that gift. If you bring your goodness, you and the goodness are one. Your goodness is filthy rags. Your righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. So you're filthy. Well, I bring the sacrifice that God gave in my behalf. And I become one with that. I'm saved because of what he did, not because of what I did. I want to talk to you a little bit. So I look at the death as the payment of sin. I look at the burial as the deposit of my sin. And I look at the resurrection as the receipt that the payment was accepted. Simple as that. And because he was raised the third day, I'm justified. Payment, deposited, received, accepted. I'm accepted in the blood. God has made me acceptable in Christ Jesus. God rejects Christ Jesus, he rejects me. If he rejects me, he rejects Christ Jesus. Why? We're one. And so God receives me in Christ Jesus because God received him. Salvation is in a person. Salvation is you receiving something. You receive the sacrifice. You receive him as your Lord and Savior. You receive him. You trust him. And you become one. Now I want you to look in Galatians. And notice in Galatians chapter 1. Paul says there in verse 22. And was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preacheth the faith which he once destroyed. And the glorified God in me. Look back in verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Now, you'll see that people see that church of God there and say, look over. And again, verse 22, the churches of Judea which were in Christ. And they say immediately that's the body of Christ. There's a difference in being in Christ and being in the body of Christ. And there are more than one church in this Bible. And I want to look at some things about this. I want you to notice what Peter preached. Peter preached the resurrection. And Paul preached the resurrection. But before I do, look in verse there. He said in verse 23, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. Well, what did Paul preach? What was the faith that he was trying to destroy before he got saved? Well, look back in Acts chapter 9. Well, I'll tell you, go to Acts 8 first. In Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8. Notice what he's doing. Can't get it in Romans 8, can I? Acts chapter 8. And notice in verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, Stephen. And at that time there were great persecution against the church which is at Jerusalem. And they were scattered, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Look at verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church. Alright, then there's a church there that he's making havoc of, right? Make havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. He was there. You'll look back in verse chapter 7, verse 58, and cast him out of the city, Stephen, and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Then he's there, he's consenting unto his death, he's making havoc of the church in verse 3, he's putting men in prison, verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. What word? Well, look over in chapter 11, hang on to Acts 8 now, look in chapter 11. They got the idea that they just go around preaching to anybody that comes along. Well, look in chapter 11 and notice in verse 19. Chapter 11, verse 19. Now when they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, that's Acts 8 there, and traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to everyone they come in contact to. Oh, did I misread that? Preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. He ain't going to no Gentiles. They're not wouldn't preach nothing to you. They wouldn't have touched you with a 10-foot pole. People don't understand that. These men had a Jewish message for a Jewish church, and that message was, he's the king. You killed him. Repent. And he's preaching the kingdom. Now, before we go on, look over it in chapter 9. So Paul gets saved in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, that way would be Christian way, way of Christ, believers in Christ, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And he's breathing out threatenings and slaughter. He's killing people. He's taking them to prison. This man's doing nothing good to get saved, is he not? I mean, look at this man. This man he's mad against the church. He's mad against Christianity. He's mad, and he's out slaughtering people, and he's wanting to stamp them out. He's wanting to get rid of every one of them. He ain't loving the Lord. And what happens there? Look what he says, and in that way, in verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus. And suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. Heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Who was he persecuting? The church. Amen? He's making havoc of the church. Was that church in Christ? He said, you're persecuting me when you persecute the church. Look what he said. And he said, Jesus whom thou persecutest, hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. I read that. I want to tell you something. If you're here, you will never get so bad that God can't save you. You know what Paul said he was? He said, I'm the chief of sinners. Paul saw the blasphemer. He blasphemed against the Holy Ghost. He blasphemed against Christ. He didn't believe in Jesus Christ. He's not doing any good works. And the Lord appears on the road to Damascus and saves him by grace. And he said, In me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering to them which should hereafter. Hereafter what? After me. Paul's the first saved by the grace of God plus nothing without him doing anything, and you can take that to the bank. Amen. You know what that tells me something? That tells me something is changing. Now look. Come over with me in the chapter now. Notice what he says there in verse 19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Now watch it. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue. That what? He's the Son of God. Alright? So what did he preach? He preached over here that Christ was the Son of God, right? How did he know that? Well, he met him. He saw him. Now turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. In other words, the gospel of God was promised in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. In other words, the resurrection proved that he was the Son of God, right? And the good news of God, the gospel of God, was that he raised him from the dead. Are y'all with me? Paul preached the first time he preached the gospel of God. What is the gospel of God? What is the good news of God? That Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. What was the faith that he's trying to destroy? That he was not the Son of God. He didn't believe in him. Now, what did Peter and them preach about the resurrection? Well, look over here with me in Acts. Robbie read you the passage in Acts. Now, the religious systems of this world want the 12 in the body of Christ. They want Peter and James and John, and they want them in the body of Christ. They want them in the same church that you're in. Because if they're not in the church that you're in, you can't have their baptism, and you can't have their ordinances, and you can't have their ministry. Right? And so they fight tooth and toenail, and they'll scratch and claw your eyeballs out, and they would take you out and stone you if it wasn't for the laws of this land, and they'd do anything to keep you from telling it, because they want the 12 in there. Why? They want their promises. They want their blessings. They want their ministry. Why? Their ministry appeals to the flesh. You can't make money preaching the Word of God rightly divided. It doesn't appeal to the flesh. What appeals to the flesh? Big assemblies. Give me a Cadillac. Pay my bills. No weapon formed against you is going to harm you. Be a better you. I mean, big $100,000 steeples, paid parking lots, programs for everything, for the kids, and the gymnasium, swimming pools, and everything like that. That appeals to the flesh. And that's what they want. The ministry of the 12 appeals to the flesh. Well, what about their ministry appeals to the flesh? Well, you walk down a street and you see a man lame from his mother's womb, and you see him there and he can't walk, and you reach out and you say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I to thee freely. Arise, and you take him by the hand, and he leaps up and jumps up. You think the flesh don't get glory out of that? Now, Peter and them didn't, but the flesh today, the religious systems of the world, want that. Why? That appeals to the people. Come and get your miracle. I see them every day, every week on television. I mean, one guy's got a 300 and some well, and he says, God, I kid you not. God told him to dig that well and told him where to dig the well, and he punched the well in, dug the well, and God done something miraculous to the water, and he's offering little vials of water that will heal you. I kid you not. Send me a love gift. I prayed over this handkerchief and the Lord told me, and on the thing goes. That appeals to the flesh. We don't walk after the flesh. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. But now you can't make money. Now look what Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, That's what people want to do. I was thinking about what Robbie was saying about that. God confirmed their ministry. Well, in fact, look back there and look how that God did confirm their ministry. Look in Mark chapter 16. And I'm not adding nothing to Robbie, but it's a good verse. In Mark 16. Look in Mark 16 and verse 19. In Mark 16, verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, that'd be Acts 1, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. That is Acts 1. Verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs followed. That's Acts 2, 3, 4, 5. But look what he said. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with what? Signs. They had signs. They had power. And people think that power still today. And they want the Holy Ghost for power. They want power to do signs. Power. And God said, it's the power that worketh in us. We have the power of God in our own hearts. But not for signs. Peter and them preached it. Look what he said there. Which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by determined counsel, foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands of crucified, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. I'll look over with me and look what he said in verse 29, 30. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit upon his throne. Folks, there's no doubt about it. They're preaching there, and they're witnesses of the resurrection. They're preaching about him being the Son of God. Look in Acts chapter 3, Acts 3, verse 15. He said, verse 14, but ye denied the Holy One, the just, desire to murder to be granted unto you and kill the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. They're preaching about the king being slaughtered. They're saying he's the Prince of Life. You've murdered. They're bringing a murder indictment against the nation Israel and saying that, but God raised him from the dead, and we're witnesses of that thing. You know the proof's in the pudding. You know that? You find in John chapter, you find them disciples after Jesus Christ had died, they're behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. They're scared for their own life, and they're hiding somewhere behind closed doors. And the Lord appears unto them. And after the Lord appears unto them, and after they see him, and he tells them, shows them his hands, and he shows them his side, and they realize he's resurrected, he's alive, and you don't find them behind closed doors when the day of Pentecost comes and the power of the Holy Ghost comes upon them and they're baptized by Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and they go out and they're preaching with boldness and power. They're not hiding no more. Men don't die for something that they don't believe in. I'm telling you, he came out of that tomb. Now, there's three things about Jesus Christ. He either was a liar, he wasn't who he said he was, or he was a lunatic, he believed who he said he was and wasn't, or he is real. He is God. Now, your choice. What do you think about him? Because you can't deny that there was a man that walked on this earth 2,000 years ago that said he was the Son of God. I mean, even historical records and history proves that out. Now, what are you going to do with him? He wasn't no faker. He wasn't a liar. He's real today. And he's in heaven. The resurrection proved it. Peter then preached the resurrection. Peter was looking for signs. They were looking for the tribulation. Look with me in Matthew. Over and over you see this. I look at these. Now why am I doing all this? Well, Peter preached the resurrection, that he would sit upon the throne. Right? Preached that he was the Son of God, and he would sit upon the throne. Paul come along, faith I'm was one destroyed. I preached that he's the Son of God, that he was resurrected. And we'll look at that in a moment. But look with me in Matthew. All I'm going to get you to understand and let the Bible say what it says. See whether you think the 12's in the body or not. Look in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. And look what he says here. Matthew 24. Notice in verse 15. When ye therefore shall what? Huh? What's that next word? See. So Peter now, they're looking. They're wanting to see something, right? When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. Well, I know where that's at. That would be in the middle of the tribulation. And he's going into the temple and he's going to set up his idol. And after that, you'd have the wrath of God over here before the second coming. And so 3.5 years tribulation, we call it the tribulation period. Daniel's 70th week. Take another look over in Luke, and look in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Over and over you'll find this through the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We call it the Gospels. But anyway, Luke 21. And notice in verse 31. Luke 21, 31. Notice what he said. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. They're looking for signs. They're looking for the Antichrist, right? Am I right or wrong? Do you know, look what he said, look up in verse 28. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. He's talking about coming of the Son of Man. He's talking about the 12. They were in Christ. And Paul talks about them being in Christ. And so there is a church in here that's expecting to go through the tribulation. And it's called a church. It's called a church of God. It's said to be in Christ. And people can't distinguish between it. Even Paul, look in Romans 16. Romans 16. Romans 16. And this is what gets people so confused. They think when they see the word church, they immediately think, well, it's the body of Christ. Or they see the word gospel, they immediately think it's the gospel of grace of God. Or they see the word baptized, they immediately think that's water. And it's not. Look what he said in Romans 16. Romans 16 verse 7. Salute Andronicus and Juno, my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles who were in Christ before me. Now, how are they going to be in Christ, Paul, before you? If they're not in the body. Well, look in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. in John 15, verse 1. I'm the true vine, and my Father the husbandman. Every branch, where? Whoa. Is the branches in the vine, or is the vine in the branches? Branches is in the vine, isn't it? That beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide where? In me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except ye abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and it withers. Men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, so on. Folks, that's kingdom. They were in Christ. They were in the vine. I am the true vine. And that vine, they were to bring forth fruit. And if they didn't abide in the vine, what happened? They got cut off, cut out, and burned in the fire. Not you. They could lose their salvation. Look in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter, there's so many. Let's just go to chapter 3 first. Notice what he says there. In Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3. Notice verse talking about Christ. Verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man, Christ, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that buildeth all things is of God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant. Verse 6, but Christ is a son over his house, whose house are we, condition, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Verse 14, notice what he said, for we are made partakers of Christ, condition, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Well, what would make them go? What would happen if they didn't hold their confidence? Look down with verse, he gives an example. Verse 16, for some when they had heard did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And folks, the day of his rest, verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Look back in verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. That seventh day turns out to be the 1,000-year reign of Christ. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. And folks, we've been 6 days. Don't you get that? And that Gentile clock is always kept a-running. And that clock's ticking down, and the Lord's going to rest on the seventh day. That's that day over there. And Hebrews writes to them and said, if you don't hold fast your confidence, and if you don't abide in Him, you're not going to enter into that rest. The kingdom. Now, one other passage in Hebrews, look in chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10, 25. Well, I got to go back and read verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching, the day of the Lord. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Well, what remaineth? But a certain fearful looking for the judgment, fiery indignation, which shall defy the adversaries. Come down, and he says in verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Look over there in 1 Peter, and notice Peter writes to the people he ministered to, which is this church in here that's looking for signs. They're looking for the Antichrist. They're looking to go through the tribulation, and they got to endure to the end to get to the second coming, when they get their sins remitted, when they get their sins blotted out at the second coming of Christ. The day of redemption for Israel is the second coming. That's when the fountain is opened up for sin and uncleansing. Do y'all not see? You know why some of you don't? You're not even following along. Some of you could care less. You just here just to have somewhere to go. Folks, you ought to come here to learn this book. This book ought to be so important to you that you ought to eat it up like a hog eating slop. This is God's Word. You know that? There's going to be people that's going to stand there and would to God at the judgment seat of Christ that they had an assembly to go to, they had a preacher to preach the Word of God rightly divided to them, and they could understand the proof. But they don't have that. And you do, and some of you don't even pay attention and don't have enough respect for the man of God and the Word of God to listen. So you get mad? Yeah, it gets me mad. It gets me fired up. I'm not up here wasting my time. This is God's business. And if you don't like God's business, you're in the wrong business. Look at Peter. Well, I don't like it. Well, that's why you're down there and I'm up here. I wouldn't preach like that. Well, that's why you're there and I'm up here. God knows what He done. He knows what He's doing. Well, I won't come back. Amen. You know what amen means? So be it. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Notice what he said. Verse 13, chapter 1. Wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you when? At the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's over here, folks. That's the second coming over here. That's when He's going to be revealed over here. That's when they get the grace. That's when they get, he said, lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. When is the redemption for Israel? They're saved physically, waiting to be saved spiritually. When is it? Over here. But they got to get through this fire and the wrath of Almighty God, and they got to be saved out of it. Peter now is not in the body of Christ. They're not looking for what you're looking for. Well, what are we looking for? We're looking in Philippians. My time is gone. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's to change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. What does Paul say we look for? Said we look for who? Verse 20. From whence also we look for who? Are you to look for the Antichrist? Paul, the Lord said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, when you see these things come to pass, that ain't what He told you. Look in Titus. In the Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Verse 13. Titus chapter 2. Verse 13. Looking for that what? Blessed hope and glorious appearing. Who are we to look for? We're to look for the Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul preached the resurrection just like Peter preached the resurrection. Look in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to what? My gospel. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Well, what was it? How did Paul preach the resurrection? Peter preached the resurrection that Christ was raised to sit upon what? The throne. Paul preached the resurrection. Look in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, notice in verse 25. Romans 4:25. Who was delivered for our offenses, Christ, and was raised again for what? Our justification. Paul preached the resurrection. If Christ be not raised, you're still in your sins. Your faith is vain. If God didn't raise Jesus Christ up, then He's not the Savior, and there's no hope for any of us. We're justified in the fact that God justified Jesus Christ. How did God justify Him? Jesus Christ became sin for you. He became your sin. And He died in faith, believing that God would raise Him from the dead. God had never raised up a man that died in his sins. He didn't have no sins, but He had your sins He's paying for. And He became your sin. He took your place. And He died for your sins and paid for all of your sins. And God forgave them sins in order to raise His Son up out of the ground. And we're justified by the resurrection. Amen. Peter didn't know a thing about that. Peter's waiting on the Antichrist. He's looking for the Antichrist. Paul, and one other thing, while I'm here, the gospel that Paul preached formed the body of Christ. He said to the Corinthians, he said, I've begotten you through the gospel. He said that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same promise by the gospel. How is the church, the body of Christ, formed? It's formed by the preaching of the gospel. How are men saved today? By grace, by hearing the gospel and believing the gospel. It's not what you do to get you saved, it's what you believe that gets you saved. And so all of this, Peter and them, and the body of Christ couldn't have been formed in Acts chapter 2 because the gospel that Paul preached wasn't preached back there. They didn't know it. Different ministries. Study to show thyself. I'm not worried about losing my salvation. Why? I'm saved. I'm sealed. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, it says, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. If you're in the body, you've been put there by the Spirit of God by believing the gospel, and the Spirit of God baptized you into that body, and you become partakers of Christ, and you become one with Him, and you're sealed in that body, waiting for the day that God will redeem your vile body and give you a body fashioned like unto His glorious body, so you can serve the Lord and the way God would have you to serve Him. Amen. And rule and reign with Him out there. Thank God for salvation.
Amen.
Now that's the resurrection. Or about the 12. Well, Jesus said, you won't go over to the cities of Jerusalem until you see the Son of Man coming. They're not in the body. Can't be. They have a different ministry. He told them, said, you'll sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 bodies of Christ. No. Judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Their inheritance is on this earth. Yours is out there in the heavens. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Until next week, good day.